Well, hello and welcome to Kingdom Encounter Live. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. So glad you took the time out to join us. I know today's word is going to be a right now rhema word that will ultimately change your life forever. So get a pen, get a pencil, call a friend. You want to make sure that you share, like, and subscribe, because I know that this is going to be an on-time message and you're going to have to listen to it more than once in order to, you know, to get it. You know, it says in Romans chapter 1 verse Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says this. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the only way you're going to generate faith, and the only way, and that word faith means total assurance, total reliance, total dependency. The only way you're going to get a real grasp of what the word of God is saying and how to see the principle to apply it to your everyday life is you have to listen to it more than one time. Too many times, you know, we listen to a message one time, or we might have heard the message, but while we said it, we didn't take any notes. And, you know, with so many voices out here in the world, you know, some for God, many against God, many pulling you this direction, many distraction. And that's one of the ploys of the adversary, is to distract you with so many different things, so many different voices, that when God is trying to get a word to you, he's having to try to push through all that other noise that you have in your life. And he's asking you, he says, give me first place in your life. Give my word first place in your life. Give me the most important part, your attention, because what you give attention to is what you will subscribe to, and what you subscribe to, that's where you will put all your efforts into doing. You know, one of the things that I always tell people, you know, even before we get ready to minister the word, one of the things I typically do is I don't get into other conversations about anything else. Why is that? Because I don't want anything else to be pulling for my attention, pulling for my attention, or my subscription, or getting my mind focused on anything else but hearing the word of God. Why? Because I know that things, you can be easily distracted. And because, again, there's so many voices in the world, so many people get distracted before they are about to hear the word, that now they're trying to battle through what they just talked about, what they just thought about, whatever situation, circumstance they dealt with, and trying to make sure they're able to hear the word of God. And the Lord says, give me first place. Give me first place. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, about how the righteousness of God. We've been in a series over the last few weeks talking about setting the record straight. And then today we're going to be talking about how the righteousness of God. Why is it so important? Why are you spending this much time talking about the righteousness of God, righteous living? What does it mean to be righteous? Because if you're going to operate according to the kingdom of God, you got to understand that the kingdom of God is established in righteousness. Why is righteousness so important? Because in order for you to operate according to the kingdom of God, you have to understand that the kingdom of God is established in righteousness. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus all the way back in the garden, as you are Nicodemus all the way, when Nicodemus, I call him Nicodemus at night, Nick at night, how he came to Jesus in John chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says this, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, he said, Rabbi, our good teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs or indicators that you do unless God is with him. And as you, as a man, a woman of God, whether you're in somebody's pulpit or not, the pulpit is only one, in church is only one pulpit, but you have a pulpit or a platform on your job, in the marketplace, in your home, in your community, in your government, in entertainment, education, you have a platform. And because this is what should be happening, because God is with you, because you are a child of the Most High God, because you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, your result should be different. You shouldn't be expected to get the same results as everybody else get, because the God is with you through the person of the Holy Spirit. The mere fact that you are a child of the Most High God, the mere fact that you are a follower of Jesus, the mere fact that you have made Jesus Lord of your life, and the mere fact that you have the Holy Spirit, aka the CIA, Central Intelligence Agent, who lives on the inside of you, you should expect your results to be different. And people should be able to see, man, there's something different about you. They may not know that you're a child of God. You might be an undercover Christian. I don't know how you're going to do that, but you might be one of those undercover, in the closet, don't want nobody to know that you saved, don't want nobody to know that you born again, don't want nobody to know that you filled with the Holy Ghost, because you don't want nobody talking about your girlfriend, boyfriend. Let me let you in on the secret. They was already talking about you. They're going to talk about you regardless. So give them something to talk about. Man, I'm a child of the Most High God. And you don't even have to put it on the billboard. All you got to do is walk it out and people will know, man, there's something different about that person. And you will begin to have people come to you like Nicodemus is coming to Jesus. Like, man, we know God is with you, because nobody can get the results that you're getting except God is with them. But what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't, you know, pat himself on the back, dust his collar off, pop his collar. He didn't do any of those things. What did he say? He says, Jesus answered what Nicodemus said. And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born again from above, you can't see, comprehend, or understand the kingdom of God or God's ways of doing things. Now, what did it say about Nicodemus? It said Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a religious leader, and he did not understand, comprehend, or see God's ways of doing things. And sometimes when you're talking to people and you're trying to talk to them about things according to the kingdom, and they sitting there looking at you with a blank stare on their face, is because you're speaking spiritual, they're hearing natural. So you got to do what Jesus did. You got to talk to them in parables and use natural examples to explain spiritual principles, like Jesus is doing with Nicodemus. Nicodemus looks at Jesus and says, man, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus looks at Nicodemus, kind of like we would be looking at Nicodemus, like, man, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, you got to come through the canal of a woman and you got to be born again by the Holy Spirit from above. You can't enter into the kingdom of God unless you be born again, unless you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. Oprah might say there's many ways. Harry Krishna might say there's many ways. Confucius might say there's many ways. Darwin might say there's many ways. You know, Allah, Muhammad, all of them might say there's many ways. But there's only one way to the Father, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit are reborn, made anew from above by the Holy Spirit. Is spirit. He says, don't marvel, don't be surprised, don't be astonished that I say to you that you must be born again. You must be born again. Now, how do you get born again? Jesus made it simple for you. You don't even have to go that far. All you got to do is go down to John chapter 3, verse 16. It says this. It says that God so loved the world that he sent, I gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life, or the God kind of life. Why is that important to you? Because you cannot become or be made the righteousness of God apart from being born again. You can't earn it. Many people says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, that the people, they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Why? Because they were ignorant of the things of God. They were ignorant of his righteousness because they made a decision that they were not going to submit to his righteousness, but they was going to come up with their own way. And that's what a lot of people are doing today. He says a lot of people are trying to come up with their own way. And see, when you come up with your own way, you never obtain the righteousness of God, or you're never in right standing with God, because the righteousness of God is by faith in the Son, in His Son, Jesus Christ, because when you receive it through Him, He justifies you. What does that word justify mean? He is the one who pardons or absolves from guilt and punishment. The only way that you receive a pardon, the only way you are absolved from guilt and punishment, the only way that you escape the wrath that is to come, is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by believing in Him and receiving the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Are y'all with me so far? You cannot receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus without being born again. There's no other way to receive it. You can't earn it. In fact, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, most people ask, what is the kingdom of God? I'm so glad you asked that question, because Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says it this way. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Or the Amplified Bible says it this way. And the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and drink one likes, but instead is righteousness, that state which makes a person acceptable to God, and heart peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It says, he who serves Christ in this way is acceptable and pleasing to God and is approved by men. So let us then definitely aim for and earnestly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual building, edification, and development of one another. The righteousness, in order for you to operate according to the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. And inside the kingdom of God is the righteousness of God. You said, okay. I think I'm with you a little bit. Well, let me give you a little bit more history on how the kingdom of God, righteousness is part of the kingdom of God. And it, in order to receive the righteousness, is the nature of God. Righteousness is the very nature of God. So you got to understand this. Righteousness is the core, is the inherent core of God. When you're talking about righteousness, you're talking about being just or fair or upright. It's His core. It's His attribute. It's His guiding. It guides His actions and judgments. It is connected to His kingship and sovereign rule over creation. See, God is just. See, when people say, you know, for God to, like when Adam and Eve was in the garden, and when He gave the garden, He created the heavens and the earth. He kept the heavens, He gave the earth to man, and He gave Adam authority over the earth. He gave man authority or dominion over the earth. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, and God had already given them authority over the earth, and for God to interfere or intervene in that situation when they was in that temptation, it would have made Him unjust. Why? Because He did not have the authority. He'd already given authority over the man. If God comes into your situation without your authorization, without somebody asking Him to intervene into your situation, it would make Him unjust. For God to violate His word, for you to think God will turn a blind eye to us practicing sin as a lifestyle, would make Him unjust. He can't. It's not that He don't want to. He can't. It would make Him unjust. And God is not unjust. God is a just God. God is fair. God is consistent. God will never violate His word. No matter how much He loves you, He can never violate His word. Glory to God. So if God doesn't violate His word, why does it call people the unrighteous? You know what it means simply to be unrighteous? It means one who does not keep God's word. One who violates His word. Because remember, to be righteous, you have to be just. That means you have to be upright. That means you have to be a follower, keeper of his word. A person who is not a keeper of his word is one who is unrighteous. Another way that sometimes it's called wicked. Sometimes it's called evil. Sometimes it's called twisted. Why? Because what you're saying is I choose of my own free will to not align myself with the principles, the laws, the dictates of the kingdom of God. Do you see how simple? I mean, it's so simple. A child could do it. See, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, it says, you have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity. And what's in righteousness? Integrity, virtue, uprightness in purpose and thought and action. And you have hated lawlessness, injustice, iniquity. See, when you love righteousness, when you love having integrity, when you love having virtue, when you love being more upright in your purpose and your thought and your actions, more so than you love operating in iniquity and operating in injustice, you demonstrate that you are truly a child of the Most High God. See, people may never ever see God face to face, but they'll see you. They may never see Jesus face to face, but they'll see you. And if you say that you are a follower of God, if you say that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you say that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, there should be some evidence, not just in your life. I'm talking to myself as well. Glory to God. Now, how do we know that the kingdom of God was established in righteousness and that righteousness is part of the kingdom of God? Well, a very familiar scripture for those around the Christmas season is Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6. And I'm going to start at verse 6 and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And it says this, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And this is what it says. Glory to God. He says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government or the kingdom shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government or kingdom and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, over his kingdom. And what is he going to do? He's going to establish it and he's going to uphold it with what? Justice and with righteousness. From the latter times forth, even forevermore. So when he comes, when Jesus was going to come to establish the kingdom of God in the earth, what was he going to establish it with? In righteousness and justice. So you cannot operate according to the kingdom of God. You can't even function according to the kingdom of God apart from operating in the righteousness, which is in our Heavenly Father, which is a part of the kingdom of God. It says here in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it says that God, the God of heaven, shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty be left to another people. God is establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. And once he establishes the kingdom of God in the earth, part of that kingdom is right. In that kingdom is righteousness, is peace and joy in the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus says the way that you're supposed to live on earth is found in Matthew chapter 6, 33. It says in every situation and every circumstance throughout your everyday life, as you're operating as a citizen of the kingdom of God, because you have been born anew from above, he says, seek first. He says in Matthew 6, 33, reading from the Amplified, says, seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom, his righteousness, his joy, and his peace in the Holy Spirit, and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things shall be given unto you. He says, as opposed to you chasing after all these things, he says, chase after, seek after, pursue after, aim at, strive for the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, he says, and his righteousness and being upright. and being just and being a person of integrity and being a person of character and being a person who is fair, having a purity of heart and a rectitude of life, conforming to your heart is being conformed in your life to the divine laws, principles, and standards of God. To be holy, to comprehend holy principles and affections of heart, your conformity of life to the divine law. What you're saying is, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to seek your word. I'm going to seek your way. I'm going to seek your wisdom. I'm going to seek your thoughts. I'm going to chase holy after you. Now, you got some people in the world today who says, man, there's got to be another way. The adversary would say, man, you ain't got to go through all that. You ain't got to do all that stuff. You ain't got to be right. You know, a little white lie never hurt anybody. You know, a little pride, a little fear, a little, iniquity, a little sex on the side, a little drinky-drinky, a little smoky-smoky, it never hurt nobody. God loves you, man. He loves you so much, he will never send you to hell. You are 100% right. He will never send you to hell. Right. But he will honor your decision to go there. You said, who the heck would honor? Who would ever want to make a decision to go to hell? The same person who made a decision, I'm going to do it my way. The same person who made a decision, I'm not going to follow the things of God. I'm not going to follow the righteousness of God. I'm going to come up with my own righteousness. Well, can I tell you, God is so smart. He even addressed that for you in his word. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 5, I'm reading for the Amplified. It says it this way. He says, you meet and spare him with joyfully works righteousness, uprightness, and justice, earnestly remembering you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, for we sin. We have long continued in our sins, prolonging your anger, and shall we have all become like one who is unclean, ceremonially like a leopard, and all our righteousness, our best deeds of rightness and justice is like filthy rags or a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind take us away far from God's favor, hurrying us towards destruction. He says, when you're in your own deeds, trying to make yourself righteous, it's like filthy rags or a polluted garment. In other words, no amount of your good is going to outweigh your bad and make you the righteousness of God. The only way you become the righteousness of God or made the righteousness of God is by your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. Nobody can earn it. And God asked the question once, why are you trying to earn something I've already made available to you? Why are you trying to lay hold on something that I've already given to you? He says, the reason why you're trying to earn it, the reason why you're trying to perform, the reason why you're trying to do all these things, go through all these exercises, is because you don't believe I've already made it available to you. He says, that's the reason why. He says, but he's setting the record straight today. The righteousness of God has already been made available to you, but the only way that you receive it is you have to have faith in the Son, Jesus Christ. God said, don't be ignorant. He says this in accordance, we touched on this earlier, Romans chapter 10, verse number 2, I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. It says this, Paul writes about the church at Rome. I bear them witness that they have a certain zeal and enthusiasm for God, but it's not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge. For being ignorant of righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word, thought, and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own, they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. Did it say that God didn't make it available to it? No, they just made a decision. They was not going to submit to or obey themselves to God's righteousness. Because you got to understand, for Christ is the end of the law, the limit at which it ceases to be. For the law leads up to him who is the fulfillment of its types. And in him, Jesus, the purpose which was designed to accomplish is fulfilled. That is, the purpose of the law is fulfilled in Jesus as the means of righteousness, right relationship to God for everyone who trusts in and adheres to and relies on him. In other words, you can't earn it. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant that there's any other way to get to the Father or get to righteousness except through his son, Jesus Christ. You said, okay, give me just a little bit more. I'm going to give you just a little bit more, and this is where we're going to wrap it up at. You got to understand the righteousness of God is by grace and faith. It's by grace and faith. How do you know? Well, it says this in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 21. I'm again from the Amplified Version. It says this. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been revealed independently and altogether apart from the law, although actually it is attested by the law and the prophets, namely the righteousness of God, which comes by believing with personal trust and confident reliance on Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is meant for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory and honor which God bestows and receives. All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing of life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. It was to demonstrate and to prove at the present time, in the now season, that he himself is righteous, and he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus. You can't earn it. It's by grace and faith. What do you say about the faith part? Well, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power or the dunamis miracle working power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, what? The gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. And how do you receive salvation? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says it this way. For by grace have you been saved. Receive salvation through faith, your total reliance, total dependence, total assurance in Christ, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't earn it. In your own good deeds, your good will never outweigh your deeds of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness simply means you refuse to do it God's way. God has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's made it available into the whole world. In fact, this is his will that all be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Everybody won't come into the knowledge, won't be saved, not because it's not available, but simply because they made a decision. I'm not going to do it God's way. God says to give you this opportunity right now to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And even if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you might have received Jesus as your Lord, but you have never made a decision to accept the fact that you're already made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I want to pray this prayer with you in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart. Say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life right now. I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may be born anew from this day forward. I receive righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you prayed that prayer as a rededication, man, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you into right standing with God, welcome you into right position with God. What do you do now? Man, you got to get into a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, but also teaches you about the kingdom of God. We know here at Kingdom Encounter, every week we're going to present a word to you that will help you to learn how to operate according to the kingdom of God and be able to walk it out line upon line, precept upon precept. What do I want you to do this week? Key points of action. I want you to meditate on Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, so you can see how you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I also want you to meditate or spend time studying 2 Corinthians 5:21, which talks about how God made him, talk about Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then I want you to ask the Holy Spirit every day, Holy Spirit, show me how to walk and live in accordance to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus now that I'm born again. If you focus on those three things this week, I guarantee you about time we get together next week, your life will be totally different than it is today. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. You have a great day. God bless you. Bye-bye.